Good morning, everybody. I said good morning, everybody. Good morning. Come on, that didn't get you excited? Spider-Man didn't get you excited? Come on. All right, so this is going to be a quick message. The 49ers are playing. Spider-Man, Jesus loves you. Amen. Have a good day. All right. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that. First off, I want to say thank you for Gary. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. Thank you guys all for being here. I want to let you guys know a little bit about my history. I served as a youth pastor here in Modesto at Baptist Temple over on Paradise Road for 9 years. I was ordained as a deacon there, ordained as a pastor there. Served for 4 years as a worship pastor part-time at a church in Merced, and then we've been serving here with you guys as part of the worship team for the last 4 years. 4 years now. Goes by so quick. But I want to talk a bit about the way I see things. As a youth pastor, I had to create lessons on a weekly basis, and you always have to entertain for the kids. It's a constant circus. You have to get them invested in what's going on, be able to pay attention. So the way we would do that is we would look at popular movies, okay? We would take a clip from a popular movie. We would take a theme from that movie, and then we would present it to them. What does the Word of God have to say about this? We would do everything from Lord of the Rings to Star Wars. Yes, Star Wars. Today, we're going to talk about Spider-Man. Spider-Man, that's right. Spider-Man. All right, next picture. Spider-Man was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko in 1962. Making his debut in Fantasy number 15, which you see on the screen, just so you know, I'd love that for Christmas, okay? That's his first appearance. Many of the Marvel characters have left an impact on our society, but none like Spider-Man. Everybody here has seen a Marvel movie, right? Everybody? Almost every? We need a little bit more, like, action from it. Everybody has seen a Marvel movie, right? Avengers? Okay, yes, awesome. So you guys understand the iconic impact that Spider-Man has on society. You can't help but see that blue and red costume. It's iconic. You see it. It's recognized around the world. And there are some words that have stuck with Spider-Man from his Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben is the only comic book character that has died and actually stayed dead. The words that stuck with Spider-Man are, and it's the title of our message today, "With great power comes great responsibility." So with that, I want us to look at that theme of "with great power comes great responsibility." If you guys have your bulletins, inside the bulletins there's your note form, and the first question that's asked, if we're relating Spider-Man to our faith, what is that great power? What is that great power? One more slide. The great power equals the Holy Spirit. Okay? Pretty obvious, pretty straightforward. We have this great power. It's the Holy Spirit's within us, right? And if we're to start actually looking at the Bible, at the Holy Spirit, starting in the Old Testament, or as it's referred to in the Spirit of God, it was granted to specific people at specific times. Okay? So we're going to turn in our Bibles, if everybody has your Bibles. Great, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. If you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. We're going to have it on the screen. We're going to talk about that great known biblical character, Bezalel. Right? You guys, everybody knows the story of Bezalel, right? No? Man, okay. We're going to learn about Bezalel. Here we go. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts.'" I really relate to Bezalel. Why? Not because of woodworking or gem skills, but because I don't have a master's degree in theology. I don't have a degree. I have a high school education and some college. but I relate to Bezalel. Why? Because we're both equipped with the Holy Spirit. God uses Bezalel as there was a need for his people. He equips them, and if you're taking notes, this is important. He equips them with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and skills, but most importantly, the Spirit of God. We're going to keep traveling in the Bible. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. And I'm going to set this up a little bit. This is Samuel going to anoint David, right? Before that, he's seeing all of Jesse's sons, and he sees one of Jesse's sons, and he's like, oh, surely this is the one I'm here to anoint. And God's basically like, no. You see the outward appearance, and I see the heart. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And we know what David would go on to do in defeating Goliath. It's important to know that being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was a really, really big deal. And it wasn't until after Jesus' death and resurrection in the New Testament that all believers would receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus even tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is coming prior to his death. If you guys want to make a note, in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 5 through 16, Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come to them. I want to read about that. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If you guys have read the book of Acts, and I hope you have, it is a great book. It's filled with incredible things. But just shortly after this, Peter, Mr. Open Mouth Insert Foot, Mr. I have denied Christ and gone back to doing what I was doing before, reinstated by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, what does Peter go do? Peter goes and speaks to a large crowd, and over 3,000 people accepted Christ. 3,000 people. So again, if you're taking notes, just what we're in so far, through the Holy Spirit, God can equip you with skills. God, through the Holy Spirit, can provide you with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. God, through the Holy Spirit, can work powerfully in your life. God, through the Holy Spirit, can give you the ability to speak to a multitude of people. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you to go out and be like, I'm going to go out and be this great speaker. If God impresses upon you to be able to do that, praise God. But maybe a multitude of people just means a few people here and there that adds up to a multitude. Maybe it's just speaking to somebody in the checkout lane at the grocery store. Maybe it's speaking to somebody that you work with, or many people that you work with. Maybe it's the difficult mission field within your own home. Now, we have these biblical examples of the Holy Spirit and how incredible they are. I mean, even in the last portion of Scripture, the violent wind and the tongues of fire, and people will tell you, well, God just doesn't work that way anymore, right? God doesn't move that way. God isn't as involved that way anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm not the person who's going to put God in a box and say that God can move this way or that way, or I'm not going to restrain what God can do. I mean, we're talking about the Creator of all things, the God who spoke and it was, right? So we're not going to put God in a box. And I think every single one of us in this room who are believers have that moment or moments in your life where you can say, God moved in that moment. The Holy Spirit moved in that moment or moments. For me, there's a moment in my life. See, I knew it. It's already building. Had to be prepared. Those of you who know me, one thing, I'm a geek. Two, I'm a crier, so I'm prepared. For me, that moment happened in 2005. 2005 was a big year for us. I had redid my life in 2003, had been serving with a worship team at our church, contemporary worship team. We had a revival at our church with a guest speaker, and the guest speaker came to us afterwards and said, would you guys be interested in going with us to Eastern Germany? Now, at the time, we would have been excited to go to Turlock or Ceres, but here this guy comes, having heard us once, and he's asking us if we want to go to Eastern Germany. Or even thought I'd have the opportunity to go to Europe. And here he is asking if we would go to Eastern Germany. And of course, we had to prepare for it. We told him we had to pray about it. We prayed and immediately told him, yes, we're interested in going. And then we had to think about, all right, this is a big deal. We have to raise money for the trip. This isn't going to be cheap. We have to make sure that we're prepared to go, that we're prayed up, and that we're ready. And a number of things happened away that where God moved amazingly, okay? First thing that we did was we had to start raising the money. And my dad, being the youth pastor at the church, allowed us to be able to have a youth car wash to be able to raise money. And at the youth car wash, I made it known to everybody that I knew, hey, we're raising money, we're going to Eastern Germany, we're going to do this. It's going to be awesome. We have this car wash, and about halfway through the car wash, a gentleman that I work with comes to the car wash, and he takes me aside, and he's, hey, Sean, how much do you need just for you to be able to make sure that you can go? How much do you need? And at the time, I knew it was about, I personally needed about $720. So I told him it was going to be $720 just for me. Didn't think anything of it. He car washed, gives a donation. A couple hours later, we're still doing the car wash. We got the prune fingers. And here he is, he pulls back up again. And I'm like, you want your car washed again? Okay. He gets out and he hands me two cashier's checks totaling up to $720. That's God moving. After that, we'd raised enough money for us to be able to go. We had to then arrange airfare, and my dad says he's going to help us out arranging the airfare. He gets on with the airline, and he tells him he needs four tickets to Eastern Germany. We had to fly from Sacramento to Denver, Denver to Detroit, Detroit to Leipzig, and then, no, Detroit to Frankfurt, Frankfurt to Leipzig, and then we had to drive for 2 hours. So we had to arrange all those flights in one shot. My dad gets on the phone with the airline, and he tells him what's going on. The person on the other line, she says, well, we only have two tickets available. And he starts to explain, oh, ma'am, please, you know, this is for a missions trip. There's four of them that are going. They need to be together on all the flights. This is, you know, they're going to Eastern Germany. She comes back. And she's in shock, and she doesn't know what to say, and she says, I need to place you on hold for a minute. I need to check into this because something happened. She comes back on the line, and she says to him, while you were telling me that this was for a missions trip, only two tickets had been available, but while you're telling me this, two people canceled. There's now four tickets available. That's God moving. We flew over to Eastern Germany. And as we're flying in, we're told it's going to be pouring down rain the entire week that we're going to be there. We were disappointed that we weren't going to be able to go walk the streets. We weren't going to be able to go share our faith. We weren't going to be able to go talk to people. We flew into Frankfurt. As we're flying into Frankfurt, we can see that there's rain on the windows. Okay, so it's just reassuring us the weather report that we had already got, right? We rush across the airport. I still can't believe that we actually made that flight. We flew from Frankfurt to Leipzig. When we landed in Leipzig and we got out of the plane, it was clear blue skies. The entire week that we were there, it was absolutely clear. In fact, they recorded the hottest day in German history the week that we were there. We got to go share our faith. 6 people came to know the Lord that week while we were there. That wasn't us. God used us when we were there. That is God moving. The morning that we were leaving, we woke up to one of the craziest thunder and lightning storms I have ever seen in my entire life. Now, some of you may have been to the Midwest. You guys have seen some pretty incredible, you know, lightning storms. I personally have never seen lightning go sideways or as much. And rain, just giant gobs of rain. It was incredible that God would hold. It was, to me, it felt like that whole week God was just kind of holding the floodgates back. Okay, you're done. You're getting ready to go home. All right, here comes the floodgates. That's what it felt like. So we fly home. We get home. We're exhausted. We had spent over, I think it was 26 hours the whole time. And like a dummy, I had forgot to request the day off from work. So I called in that day saying, I just need one more day, okay? And we decided we were going to spend the day with our family. We were going to go to the movies. We were going to go see Star Wars. We go see Star Wars. And we knew, before I talk about going to see Star Wars, we knew going into this missions trip that we had to be prepared not only physically, not only financially, but we had to be prepared mentally that we would be under attack. See, anytime you step out in faith for Jesus, you put a bullseye on your back. And Satan wants to strike you down and he wants to shut you up. He tried. We go to see Star Wars. Close to the end of the movie, you know, I'm all geeked up. I'm excited, Star Wars. And sitting there next to my daughter, Mackenzie. Roxanne is there with my son. She's holding him. He's about barely 2 years old. And close to the end of the movie, my wife just takes off out of the movie theater, running out of the movie theater, holding my son. I look at Mackenzie, I'm like, what's going on? Did she say anything to you? She said, no, I have no idea. I run out into the lobby, and there I hear my wife screaming for help that my son isn't breathing purple. Told you. They call an ambulance, but in the meantime, it seemed like those seconds were an eternity, and we didn't know what to do. We take him outside the theater, and as we're outside, it just happens to be that there's a person in a car looking at the screen to see what the movie times were. And he recognizes that we were in distress and needed help. And he gets out, and he's an off-duty EMT. That's God moving. He comes, and he tells us calmly, set him down on the ground. So we do. And he starts working on him, give impressions. And the only thing that I could think to do was just to get down on my knees and hold his hand and pray. And I remember asking God in that moment, God, please protect my boy. I've never, ever uttered these words in a prayer ever.
But for some reason in that moment, I asked God, please put a protective hedge around my son. Breathe life into my boy. The moment I said, in Jesus' name, amen, life came back to my son. The moment I said, in Jesus' name, amen, the ambulance came, took him to the hospital. There he is, sitting on the like, nothing's wrong, eating a popsicle. He's perfectly fine. We learned that he had a febrile seizure. His temperature got too hot, and it caused him to have the seizure. All of those instances in my life, in a very short period of time, are instances that God moved incredibly. For those people who try to tell God isn't active and God doesn't move, you have no idea what you're talking about. Sorry. All right, so we know what the great power is. This great power is the Holy Spirit that we have inside us, right? What is our responsibility? Next slide. Our responsibility is the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, very end of the age." Go! Jesus is saying, go! You have this great power that is inside you, this incredible power that can do anything. And God is saying, go! When Jesus gives us a command, is it like a holy suggestion? Oh, you know what? Maybe you should go out and just talk to a couple people. Maybe, yeah, think about it. No, it's a command. God is giving you a direct command to go. It says, go into all nations. Go into your home. Go into your schools. Go into the neighboring cities. Go into the neighboring states. But go. You know, for a lot of us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a Christianese term that you're on fire for the Lord, right? And we're willing to go anywhere. We're willing to do anything. But then there's pain, right? Then there's pain that comes in the form of rejection. Being rejected hurts, doesn't it? It hurts, doesn't it? You know, when you care about something so much that you just want them to experience that joy and that love of God that's in your life, and they just proverbially spit in your face, that hurts, doesn't it? Then sometimes those people who are on fire, they get kind of feel like they've had a bucket of water that's just been poured on them. You know, we own a business here in town, and one of the things that we wanted with business was to be able to talk to people about our faith. I come from a corporate culture background where you're very limited in what you can say and when you can say it. You can talk about Jesus, but only every once in a while, right? Other people in here, you guys have experienced that, right? So having our own business, we wanted to be able to freely be able to talk about Jesus. Philippians 4:13 is our statement. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's in our logo. I would be a fool not to honor God in everything that we do at our business, for everything that he's done for us, for every door that he's opened, for every opportunity. And in being able to have that freedom, it's pretty amazing, but in the comic book industry, some of you may know, some of you may not, there's this neo-atheism, which is a big deal. It's very science first. Now, I'm not against science, okay? But I'm a faith-based person. And sometimes when you have these loving conversations with people, I've been rejected, and I've been rejected pretty hard. And I'd be lying if I said it didn't hurt. I don't hurt because I feel like a fool for having shared my faith. I hurt because I know how much better their life could be with Jesus. Then conversely, man, there's also some pretty awesome triumph when you share your faith with somebody and they accept it and pray with you right then and there, and you get to see God move in their lives, and you get to see them produce spiritual fruit, and then they get to go plant seeds with others. You see, when you share your faith and you get rejected, keep going. Keep going. Because that person who is rejected, you've been planting seeds in their life. And it's not up to you to be able to make it grow. That's up to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in their lives. When you're rejected, you pray. You pray for that person. God, I'm hurting because I tried to share your love and I was just turned away. But God, I ask you to just move in their lives. Reveal yourself powerfully. You're not going to win everyone. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to move in your life. You can't quench the Holy Spirit. We're going to keep the fire alive through a number of different ways, right? Personally, you have to keep the fire alive through prayer, right? Through devotion, devotionals, and what we're doing right now, fellowship. You know, if we don't have fellowship, it's kind of hard to be encouraged, right? I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person when somebody gives me an attaboy, makes me feel good, right? Makes me keep wanting to keep on going. That's what we're here to do. That's what this is. It's for our education, but it's also for the encouragement and fellowship. You have a tough task ahead of you. Christmas is coming up, right? But this is the season that people are most receptive to be able to hear about him. You have your own personal mission field, whether it be, as I've said, at work or wherever. I don't know about you, but the hardest people... Sorry, Lord. I was about to talk about family, too. You wanted to shut it down. I don't know about you, but sometimes the hardest people for me to be able to share my faith with and to really have that discussion with is family. I'm blessed to have parents who are as active as anyone I know, and they live their faith, and that's great, but I do also have family that doesn't. And it doesn't make me love them any less. I love them to death. Talking to them's hard, isn't it? I think every single one of us has at least one person in our lives that we can think of that needs Jesus. You have 3 more weeks till Christmas. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service. They're most receptive now. Allow the Holy Spirit to be alive in your lives. Allow him to work in your life. Don't quench it. I know I've had moments where that little voice in your head, hey, Sean, Johnny. He really needs it. I don't know. I'm really not feeling it right now, Jesus. I'm really not feeling it right now. Oh, but just go. He really needs it. I don't know, Jesus.
Fight it. Fight it. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I know this service was a little bit shorter than what we're used to. I don't have the timing down that Gary does, you know, but I can dance better. Hey. Love you. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Usually it's Gary up front here, and people will wait to be able to come forward just to pray with him. And I love and I respect that. What we're going to do, we're going to play a video here in just a little bit. For that, I'm going to pray. After I pray, you have the opportunity to be able to come forward and pray with either myself or with Gary, or just to come forward and pray. If you have the physical ability to be able to come forward, if you want to kneel over one of the chairs and just pray, maybe it's praying for that one person in your life. Maybe it's praying for yourself to be able to have the courage to be able to speak to that one person in your life. But I want you to be able to have the opportunity to take advantage of it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you, and we absolutely just thank you so much for this time. We thank you for giving us this country where we have this freedom to be able to freely worship you. Lord, right now we want the Holy Spirit to move powerfully in our lives. We want to be the ambassadors for Christ that you want us to be. Lord, I weigh it on everyone's heart that's here, that as they're here and as they leave, that you will be the forefront of their mind, Lord. And again, just work powerfully in their lives. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd be also a fool to not have an invitation. So the majority of us in here are believers, but there may be some in here who aren't. Take it.